with you in a minute. I'm not going to teach this today because it'd be too lengthy, but I'll show you the picture. I was studying the word sword, and I got really disappointed in our King James Version and in our concordance that we have that interprets the King James. Because it only led me to the word sword as a weapon of war. So I knew that wasn't correct because I'd already studied the Kabbalah and it had given me several words. Sword was one word, but in our studies, we just kind of need to reach out into other places. Fortunately, before I studied in the scripture, I got on the internet and typed in this word right here. And of course, it took me straight to a Jewish site. And it was the most awesome overall picture of what this word really means. Because it has a dualistic meaning. But let me read this part. Speaking of the word sword and what it says about it in the Kabbalah. Zakor, remember, begins with Zayin. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Now how do you put that word together with sword? I mean, really. It was one of the Ten Commandments, not commandments. We have got that wrong. The Ten Promises is just as Karen taught. She was just confirming everything God talks about as a promise. These are promises, not you gotta do this. This is a promise to you if you keep your Sabbath. Moses brought down from the mountain these, and as we honor the Sabbath in the form that feels appropriate, we remember it in the sense of piecing it back together again, our Sabbath. We create ourselves by just sitting back and reflecting. One way to do this is to step out of the world of hustle and bustle, out of commerce and work daytime, out of modernity itself, and enter your sanctuary of sacred time. During Sabbath, we rest and we welcome into our lives the feminine aspect of the divine, the Shekinah, the Sabbath Queen, it's called. Just sit back. Choosing Zayin can indicate a time just to back off and lay low. If you don't see things coming back, back off and see what God will do, not what you can do. There are certain things that I just said, God, I've done all I know to do in this situation. And I'm not able to reconcile it. So you go to working. Because if you get your hand in it, then you really taint it once you've given it to him. Stay near the home with family and friends. Be with nature. Withdraw from all worldly commerce. Study. Pray. Sing. The Talmud says, what was created on the seventh day? It says, tranquility, serenity, peace, and repose. Zayin represents a time to turn to your own inner Sabbath, to the seventh, the inner direction, and nourish your peace. Don't you love it? How do you get that out of that King James? I was just so aggravated with man only pointing to one direction with the sword. This is so much greater. Of course, the Father always gives us something that's dealt with on every turn. It's well-rounded. And it fits. Of course, you get into quandaries about things you need to do or not do. And you need to stop and think a long time. Impetuous don't get us there too fast. I laughed at Carolyn. She said, "I love your husband's approach." She said, "He's slow, calm, and cool." I said, "That is indeed Johnny. By the time he does it, I don't want him to do something." But he's thinking about how do we do this. If we just more and more would think about how does this affect. So I loved it.
He has a vision.
Yes, he does. It is also a time for enjoyment, my Lord, folks. We don't know how to have fun sometimes. Abraham Joshua Heschel, in his classic book, The Sabbath Teaches, unlike the Day of Atonement, the Sabbath was not dedicated exclusively to any spiritual goals. Not one. It was a day for body and soulishness, comfort, pleasure. Go have fun. It's an integral part of the Sabbath observance. Pay attention to what your soul says. What I want to do sometime. What do I want to do? The Talmud says, sanctify the Sabbath by the choicest meals and your most beautiful garments. I love Sabbath for that. I was taught when I was a little girl, you dress up that day. I love to dress up. I like to dress up a lot of days. And I'm going to, because I want to. You don't want to? That's fine. But I love it. It says, delight your soul in pleasure, and I will reward you for this very pleasure. We've seen that Zayin calls us to remember. Traditionally, the Iroquois people remember not only the ancestors, but those to come. When making any important decision, this is beautiful to me, they would consider the children to be born from them for seven generations. What I am doing, how does it affect the rest of my seed? Am I going to do it like the O'Neills did it, my ancestors, or am I going to do it in a brand new way and lift it out of that carnal seed? I thought this was awesome. They ask, how will this decision affect those to come after me? How will it affect them if I keep acting like an O'Neill or carrying on that tradition? Zayin reminds us to step back from the day to day and take a look at our lives from a long view. Did she not teach that? Way down the road. We do not need to adjust our lives today to better serve the seventh generation, which for us are the children of the late 22nd century. Okay. If I can say this word in the Greek or the Hebrew. Shemitah. The sabbatical year, and that's where we are today. We're living 2014 is the 7 times 7 plus the 1, calls it the Jubilee. Every 7th year is Shemitah, is a period of letting the fields lie fallow and giving the earth a rest. When Zion appears in our hand, it may signify time to take some form of sabbatical, to give ourselves a break, renew our perspectives, and savor a little freedom. Then he brings a balance here. Freedom, however, often has to be fought for and won. Bloodshed, just like she said. And then defended. Here is where Zion is a weapon and dovetails the letter's peaceful Sabbath qualities. To protect our sacred Sabbath time, we must wield the sword that guards boundaries. Oh, that is, to me, important. People in relationships, sometimes they don't give each other a break. Oh, my goodness. We all need a break every day and get quiet. And my personality, buddy, if I don't get quiet, I get mean. So I have to learn to take my quiet time away. Maybe I'm just watching a movie or whatever. And we do well with that, Johnny and I. We both need that backing off time. To protect our sacred Sabbath time, we must wield the sword that guards these boundaries. We must defend the precious suke, our divine feminine space. Sometime it is suke. The questioning part of us is suke. It is not shekinah. There's a difference. And it is psychic. All of us go through that little stinking realm. And it's not little, it's a big realm. Because most people judge from psychic. We must defend the precious soul space, protect the feminine aspects of ourselves and nature that may be endangered by the demands of other people and our fast-paced materialistic culture and its patriarchal remnants. How easy it is to forget to remember the Sabbath, both literally and figuratively. I just love this, and I think I read this to y'all before, and I probably will read it again because it's good. Zion calls for incisiveness, for a sharp clarity of mind and intention that safeguards that which is precious. Robert Bly says in Iron John, showing a sword doesn't necessarily mean fighting. It also can suggest a joyous decisiveness. We all have swords, and we need to use them. We can't just lay them down. Let them be used for a divine purpose, to stand ground. I want to get into all this, but I'm not, because it'll make our time too long and we'll be tired. I'll just read one more thing and then we'll close. I want to hear.
Well, we need to be instant in season. So I was thinking, the word is a sword, to have that ready at least.
Yes.
But it should be handy, easily available.
Yes, we need to know how to use it too. The thing that touches me about this word sword coming into my life is when we went for our anniversary, Johnny said, how would you like to stop at the knife factory, or whatever it's called? They got a kajillion knives in there. And we walked around through there, and I thought, my Lord, some of those cleavers were huge. What in the world would you even need them for? You know, big, huge. Or, well, a little one can do harm. You don't have to have a huge one, but just a little knife could do harm. Anyway, of course, we know what this looks like. This is called the handle, and this is called the blade. And that's the seventh Hebrew letter. You can't make this stuff up. That was written billions of years ago in the heart of the Father, and he transferred it to a people. And it fits. I can't find anything that don't fit. It just blows my mind how everything fits. Anyway, when Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden, at the entrance was placed a flaming sword that turned in every direction and protected the tree of life. We're each carriers of the flaming sword, which guards the inner tree of our life. Through decisiveness and honoring, indecision, people are hemming and hawing. I'm going, this is getting us nowhere. I mean, we're going nowhere. Through decisiveness and honoring what is truly important to us, by cutting away, circumcision was cutting. You lay that foreskin up here, dude. Male or female. It doesn't matter, because females have to be circumcised too. And I don't want to go on that. It's terrible. It's worse than you ever think of a man's bed. But anyway, we are each carriers of a flaming sword, which guards the inner tree of life. Through decisiveness and honoring what is truly important to us, by cutting away what is not, we skillfully wield the sword of Zion. William Blake invokes the inspiration of Zion in his preference to Milton. And I read this poem two or three times and I thought, what does that mean? But as I thought on it, for probably a year, it's been a long time, I understood it. I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall my sword ever sleep in my hand, until we have built Jerusalem in England's great and pleasant land. I thought, Jerusalem in England? First, you got to think about that. It's not in England. But he's talking about the peace inside of us. Choosing this letter is a call to arms. It's a challenge. Just keep alert and vigilant. Never being lured into a sleep by a siren song of commerce and materialism. We continually have the opportunity to build Jerusalem, and they use the Hebrew word Yarub Shalom. Oh, it's so pretty. I wish I could speak their language. The vision of Shalom, the city of peace. That's what Abraham was looking for. A city whose builder, maker, foundation was God. Anise Smith taught on this so beautifully many years ago. She taught it at a funeral. I think a funeral or a wedding. Maybe it was known as wedding. She said, and she taught it under such an anointing that our pastor got mad because he felt the life in it. She said, Abraham was looking for a city, and that city is us. Well, that's where my pastor got upset. He even got red-faced and caused himself a breach between him and her because she had the anointing on her to teach us what was coming down the road and who we really were. We're to be a government of peace. That doesn't mean you're passive, because if you're just passive for a time, you become aggressive if you don't know that. The worst kind of personality, psychologically speaking, is passive aggressive, because it builds up to a mountain and then you want to kill somebody. Okay. The vision of Shalom is Jerusalem, the city of peace. That city of peace is right here in this moment, where we stand, where we are. That just blew my mind.